listening to Opus Talks, where you'll be in on conversations with insiders in the energy, chemicals, and environmental commodities markets. Guests share insights into the latest trends and innovations, industry challenges, and much more. Let's dive into the conversations that explore where the energy economy is headed, right here on Opus Talks.
Hello, my name is Mariana Sanchez Moreira. I'm Thought Leadership Director at Chemical Market Analytics by Opus, and with me today is Mark Plamondon, Executive Director at Alberta's Industrial Heartland Association. Thanks for joining me today, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So just to give our listeners a bit of context, the Alberta's Industrial Heartland Association is Canada's largest hydrocarbon processing region and most advanced carbon sequestration hub, and a key destination for chemical, petrochemical, oil, gas, and emerging low-carbon industrial projects, and is driving diversification at the intersection of economic resiliency, innovation, and environmental leadership. And today, our conversation will be focusing on the evolving landscape of feedstocks, NGLs, naphtha, and emerging alternatives, how the chemical industry can brace for these shifts, and what global supply chain opportunities could lie ahead involving Canada's industry. So, Mark, Alberta's Industrial Heartland has operational CCUS infrastructure and is a global leader in industrial decarbonization with even more promising prospects when considering the Alberta Carbon Trunk Line, which is the world's largest CO2 pipeline, which has received FID, if I'm not mistaken, and five other CCUS projects, right? So at the same time that we are seeing all of these projects, for energy and chemicals, sustainability is also taking a bit more of a secondary strategic role these days. So with security and affordability generally taking priority, how is this impacting Alberta's Industrial Heartland projects? And are your leading CCUS capabilities still a major investment attracting factor, namely for chemical companies?
Great question. And you're absolutely right on a couple of points there around, you know, what we're seeing around the world. I'll give some more context on that. But further background on this region, the Industrial Heartland, we are just very fortunate to have substantial carbon capture sequestration infrastructure that's in place today and go forward capability that is under development. You mentioned the Alberta Carbon Trunk Line. That is a functioning system. It can handle 14.6 million tons a year of CO2, and it is operating at around 10% or so capacity. So there's surplus capacity already available in this region for large emitters. New facilities that are coming, we're looking at Alberta's Industrial Heartland. There are facilities and infrastructure in place today that can handle the emissions. And there's more coming. There's additional projects that are currently under construction for additional carbon capture and additional sequestration capability. And there's even more that have been identified as carbon hub operators from the government of Alberta. So this region, really, we view it as really world-leading and a global leader from a carbon capture sequestration standpoint. But as you mentioned, you know, right now with a lot of focus on affordability and security of supply and really more uncertainty than you may have seen in maybe the last decade or so, you know, the question is, are we still seeing this as an important factor? When we talk with companies, so our mandate is really largely to grow this petrochemical cluster, this value-add cluster, economic development. And when we're talking with companies around the world around their next capital project, you know, the two main leading key competitive advantages, of course, are those low-cost feedstocks, substantial discounts relative to Henry Hub here in North America, and the carbon management capability. To have that combination of really cheap feedstocks and carbon management capability, that's a real competitive advantage. So those conversations still happen. Companies, of course, are looking long-term. The projects are, they know they're for decades. And so understanding carbon management capability, that's really important still in our discussions today. But I would add, there's probably more conversation around optionality than previously. So looking at, okay, how can I position my plant for carbon management in the future, recognizing that right now, maybe the monetization of low carbon products or the uncertainty around carbon pricing, you know, a lot of that uncertainty may not be the right time to lock into some of the carbon sequestration, but how can I position my plant for optionality? How can I ensure that the design is there for future optionality? So I'd say there's more conversations now around optionality than maybe we've had. But the simple answer to your question is companies that are looking at multi-decade investments are still talking to us about not only the access to low-cost feedstocks, but the carbon management opportunities in this region.
Right. So it's more about flexibility these days, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think that'll be a theme here in this discussion, right? In a more uncertain world, preparing for a wider range of outcomes is the prudent thing to do.
Of course. Right. At the kind of putting the energy transition a little bit in the background at this point, and at the same time, we're seeing the shifting trade flows, supply-demand realignment. So in your view, how can the chemical industry brace for the feedstock market shifts, and what kind of smart strategies can be applied both in the short term regarding cost control and sourcing strategies? You already mentioned flexibility, but also when it comes to maintaining long-term investment decisions aligned with what could happen.
Yeah, I think the general theme here and along with strategies, particularly in the long run here, is optionality and preparing for a wider range of outcomes. That's even more important and has more value in uncertain times to have that optionality. And so from our standpoint, what we think companies are doing and can do is looking at optionality across the spectrum of their operations. So, you've asked a question around short-term and long-term. Of course, the short-term control strategies, operational improvements, implementing AI systems to reduce or improve their cost control, et cetera. I think operators will be doing that already. But in the long run, where I think the industrial heartland can play a role is globally, they can use or view this region as part of a geographical diversification strategy. Again, planning for a wider range of outcomes, having a broad diversification in your portfolio of assets that includes geographical diversification is where the industrial heartland can really play a role. So the feedstocks from this jurisdiction can be accessed via the or exported via the West Coast. There's access down to the Gulf Coast as well, and also off to the East Coast, although the majority of exports are off the West Coast. But accepting that this region could play a role in diversifying companies' portfolio geographically, we think that's really where industrial heartland could play a role. With its low-cost feedstocks, 30 to 40% discount typically compared to the U.S. Gulf Coast, and couple that with the low-carbon capability that we talked about previously, this is, I think, an ideal jurisdiction to add some geographical diversification for companies, and that would be a long-term investment strategy for global companies. I think that's sort of the main thought that I had here with how the industrial heartland can play a role for the petrochemical industry globally.
Yeah, I mean, could you maybe expand a little bit on what kind of opportunities involving Alberta's industrial heartland are you expecting to arise in the future? Obviously, you mentioned being a global player, and you already mentioned the export type opportunities, but is there anything else that you could add on that front? Any particular opportunities that are not necessarily obvious to our listeners?
Well, certainly. I mean, we'll talk through some of the general ones. So, anything that's coming from your natural gas and natural gas liquids, obviously in the petchem space. So there's substantial opportunity right now in the C1 space, methanol in particular. And again, that low-cost feedstock really drives competitive advantage. And with the access to the West Coast markets, we think there's a real opportunity for methanol here. In the C2 space, going ethane to ethylene to polyethylene, We still view that there's an opportunity for the low-cost ethane, additional ethane investments here. And then in C3, likewise for propane. So propane to propylene and polypropylene. That's where we're seeing most of the petrochemicals. But in addition to what may not be obvious to your listeners is we actually have a lot of conversations right now around low-cost, low-carbon electricity generation that would then flow into data. So whether that's data centers or hyperscalers, et cetera. So, maybe from a petchem space, it's not exactly aligned, but it is taking the low-cost feedstocks through to low-carbon electricity generation that would provide the electricity needed for this substantial demand right now for data centers. So there's lots of discussion right now. So in that case, you wouldn't be exporting a petrochemical, but you'd be exporting data. But that's an opportunity right now that we're seeing. And then I would also add in the energy transition, focus on electrification. So battery materials and battery precursor materials, we think that the logistics and the infrastructure here really position this region well for upgrading of critical minerals into higher value products for the battery space. So another area of opportunity for companies.
Really, really interesting. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us today and for your expert insights. And a special thank you as well to our listeners, whom I'd like to invite to be an active participant in industry-defining discussions like this one by joining our upcoming World Chemical Forum in the Woodlands, Texas, March 25, 26. And you can register now at worldchemicalforum.com. And as a thank you for listening, use promo code TPOD15. So that's T for thank you, Pod for podcast 15 to save 15% off your registration today. Mark will be joining us too, and we hope to see you there. Goodbye.
We hope you've enjoyed today's insider conversation on Opus Talks. Join us next time for a deep dive into another industry insider's world. You can find more Opus Talks episodes at opusnet.com/podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.